The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, and pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Before this episode of the Josh Terry Podcast gets started, we want to thank all of our sponsors. 3B Construction and Roofing, Your Choice Healthcare, Lori's Dive-In, DPF Alternatives, and they have a new address, by the way. It is 288 Eatington Highway, Gray, Georgia, 31032. Nobles Networking, Project K9 Hero, who is a lifetime sponsor of the show. If you would like to figure out how to be a lifetime sponsor of the show, please message me now. Cottonfield Grill, Pearl Promoting, Back Road Park, and Event Venue. Don't forget November 10th and 11th. We are over there for their Veterans Day celebration. Friday night is Tristan Baugh and Confederate Railroad. And on Saturday is Miss Ella Langley and Trey Lewis. I will be hosting the event. It is going to be an awesome time. Do not miss out. Tickets are available now. Cashman's Pub, Down Yonder Hat Co., Deep South Chemical, and we're bringing back an old feature that we haven't done in a while. Our Spotlight Song of the Month, an artist spotlight, is on Mr. Hunter Mounts and Kyle Austin. They just put out a song called Collard Greens. I really, really like it. I'm going to play it for you in a couple weeks whenever these boys come into the show. So do me a favor now. Go follow both these guys on social media and download our Song of the Month, Collard Greens, by Hunter Mounts and Kyle Austin. Better Than Basic. Miss Erica does our website. She does all our graphic design. She does everything for us. Please go check them out now for any of your social media needs, marketing needs, whatever. And check out thejoshterrypodcast.com, our official website. Grab some merch while you're there. And please leave a review and rate the show if you love this. Please help me grow. All I need you to do is take 5 minutes out of your time, go to Apple, Spotify, however you listen to the show, and leave a review. Leave us 5 stars. It helps us more than you know. I'm grateful for each and every one of y'all. Thank y'all for making the show what it is. Now, I'll stop with the business side of the show now, and we'll get to talking. Thank y'all for listening. Enjoy the show. What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. So, if you've listened to the ads at the beginning of the show, then you know that we have a showcase, spotlight song, whatever the hell you want to call it. And this month, I've got one of my buddies. I'm going to tell y'all a funny story about him in just a minute. But it's not even really about him. It's about some dumb shit that I did. But anyway, I want to introduce y'all to my guys, Hunter Thomas Mounts and Mr. Kyle Austin. How y'all doing, boys?
Doing good, man.
We're doing great.
I've heard several people that have heard where we advertise the Collard Green song, and they like it, dude. Y'all are smooth.
Dude, I love it. I love that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. On TikTok and stuff, everybody's been calling us Garth Brooks and
who's Trace that? Adkins.
Yeah, Trace Adkins.
You know what, Hunter? You do kind of got some Garth Brooks going on now that I'm looking at you.
Yeah, you know what's weird? And I'm going to say this because you said there's no limits on this show.
Yeah,
I'm not a Garth Brooks fan. I do not like Garth Brooks.
I don't.
I know that's going to. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't much care for him as a person.
Man, I mean, I'll admit that he's got some great songs from the '90s, but yeah, just for whatever reason, not necessarily my cup of tea. It's so ironic though, because everybody's like, man, you really got that Garth influence. And I'm like, I have no idea how it came about, but Hey, I'll take it because he's still relevant all these years later.
Yeah, I don't know how relevant it is. I love his music. I do, but I think he's kind of batshit crazy now, and I used to wouldn't have thought that.
I know Tom Segura has a real I don't know, have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I am obsessed with Tom Segura. I even thought other night my daughter had a banquet for a softball at school or whatever. And after we got done with the softball banquet, it was kids versus adults playing dodgeball in the gym. And I had this moment walking in there and I was like, I'm gonna hurt myself like Segura did when he went to dunk or whatever and broke every
Gonna
bone in
break
his
your
body.
elbow and your leg and
And sure enough, I reached down with my old fat ass just to pick up a dodgeball, and my knee buckled. And right then, I was like, "I'm not ending up like that. I'm just going to sit down." Segura's like the fucking king to me.
Yeah, he's hilarious, dude. He's
But
always been funny.
yeah, so if he doesn't like Garth Brooks, I'm kind of on his side. I'm kind of on his side. And if y'all don't know what we're talking about, just go look up. Tom Segura has said that Garth Brooks got bodies buried everywhere. Like all kind of Garth has blocked him on every form of social media. Like it's bad, but it's funny bad.
And the video where Tom Segura is like getting injured playing basketball or whatever it was, I guess Garth like tweeted it out or was talking to somebody and was like, every time I see this video, it makes me smile.
Oh my
Jesus.
God.
Have y'all seen the video? He cripples
Yeah.
himself.
Yeah, it's bad.
I've never identified with something more in my life.
Dude, his arm is flopping around like a loose tube sock. It looks terrible.
It's so bad. Well, Hunter, the thing I was going to tell you is when you did the writers round for us at Live Oak,
Okay.
yeah, it was so good.
Thank you.
But there was these two, I don't know if Kyle, you might enjoy this. There was these two women that were sitting in the front of Live Oak when we were doing the show. They wouldn't shut the fuck up. I'm talking about they would not. And Hunter, I always say the name of the song wrong. What is the song about is it Kindergarten Rodeo Clown?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They would not shut up. And he's pouring his heart out, telling a story behind a song. And they're all but saying, play Freebird or something stupid. Like it's a writer's round. Shut the fuck up. And they would not hush. And I started throwing my limes because I didn't got drunk off tequila at them and get them to shut up. And I'm telling you, when I got some ugly Instagram messages from them, they were like, I don't know who you think you are. And I was like, bitch, he's sitting there telling you the saddest story of all time. And it's meaningful. Shut the fuck up. Listen to the song.
It would have been more honest if they were just like, hey, sorry, I'm a narcissist. I had a flare up at your show. My bad. You know, because we use mental health as an excuse for everything else. So why not, use it for
I definitely use it for everything, but I am
that?
crazy. I hate when people do that shit, dude. Like I done got, and I used to think, you know, like the guy that's like my big brother, Lee Tucker, right?
Freaking, yeah, I
Like
love it. I love that
he's
guy.
literally why I have any connections with anybody. Yeah, I mean, he's literally my big brother. And I used to see him at shows. He would stop playing, even if he like dumb shit. Like he would be at a bar somewhere and him just playing covers and shit. And if people wasn't paying him attention and they were asking for other shit, Lee would be like, look, y'all can get the hell out or y'all can listen to what I'm gonna play. Either way, just shut up. And then I've seen Bobby Pinson jump off people on stage. I've seen Vaden do it to folks in the crowd. And so now I'm just like, if you're not respecting what's going on and somebody's pouring their, like it's a meaningful song, something that you ought to shut up and listen to, I done got bad about this. I'm going to tell you to shut the hell up.
Man, you're turning into Aaron Lewis in your older age there.
I hope so. I hope so.
That's what he's striving for.
Yeah, no shit. That guy is cool as shit to me. We was at his house not long ago, and everybody knows he smokes weed, so it's not like I'm telling a fucking story that I'm not supposed to. I don't smoke weed that much. Like I'll hit a pen every now and then. I'm more of a mushroom guy. Like I like microdosing. It's the best thing of all time to me. But I was over there, and this dude's got him like packed like cigarettes, already ready to go. And it was one after another after another. Next thing you
Damn.
know, I'm talking about stupid stoned, and I don't even like getting stoned. I like relaxing. I was, and somebody ended up taking Some of Us the Losers from his house. And I was miserable. I was so miserable. I just wanted to fucking be in front of a TV and chill.
Yeah. Oh no, we're getting thrust into a social situation after that.
Well, I love Losers if like Justin Andrews is playing or somebody like, outside of that. I don't even want to go to Losers no more.
Yeah.
There's not many Justin's places great. I want to go.
Dude, you're talking about Lee. I didn't realize till I looked up your Cochran, Georgia. Yeah. That you're right by Kathleen. And I was like, okay, that's probably how he and Lee know each other, because you know y'all are pretty close to each other geographically. So is that how you guys know each other?
No. This is probably my daughter just turned 12, so she couldn't have been no more than 3 or 4, if that. Like, I've known Lee 10 years now.
Yeah.
I was having a house party. And I had recently met Nate Kenyon by accident at a music festival. And he was living down close to where Lee is, in Baxley, Hazelhurst area at the time. And I was having a house party for something, and I had asked Nate if him and his band would come play it for us back then. And they did. Well, Nate was right before the show started. He's like, man, I got some buddies. I'd love for you to meet. I just think you'd get along with them. Mind if they come? And Lee Tucker shows the fuck up. And he's got, I don't know if you've ever seen the way he dresses. He's the worst dressed individual of all time besides from Mark Oriott. Like, nobody nobody can outdress Mark Oriott when it comes to looking homeless. But Lee shows up. He's got loafers on. He's got blue jeans on. He's got a shirt tucked in. He's thinking that he's going somewhere nice, and he doesn't realize that we're trash. Like, we are trashy-ass people where he was coming. He gets out of the truck, looking all like an insurance salesman like he used to be. He's got his guitar in one hand and a ball of moonshine in the other. And about 45 minutes later, we were best friends. Like, it was, it was great. It was, but then you talk about Kathleen, when he was going through that breakup and when he was dating that girl, we were friends. So I got to experience all of fuck Kathleen. Like, I lived it with him. So he's one of my favorite people of all time, though.
Yeah, man, he's good. He's a good feller for sure.
Yeah, I think that's how, I think he's who introduced me and you, matter of fact.
He is. So we're at Live Oak, Kyle, and Lee goes, Hunter, there's somebody I want you to meet. Man, he's so connected. He's one of my best friends. I'm gonna introduce you. So walk over, don't know who I'm meeting, and it's Josh. And I'm thinking, I've already met Josh 2 or 3 times. And then he says, hey, this is my buddy Hunter. You need to have him on your podcast someday, Josh. And Josh goes, Lee, you've already introduced me to Hunter 2 or 3 times. And we both just had that moment. We were just kind of roasting him. But yeah, it was a good Live Oak moment.
I'm kind of glad he doesn't drink that way anymore. He's a lot. He is, like, I know that I'm a lot when I drink, but when Lee gets on one, he's the funniest person I've ever met in my life, too, when he gets in that certain level of drunk where he is just roasting and talking shit to absolutely everyone. But he can get out of hand real quick.
Can't we all?
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, but anyway, let's get on to you guys. Fuck Lee Tucker. He always gets his head, if it wasn't already as big as it fucking was. Every time he hears like shit, me sharing stories on the show or whatever, he'll be like, why didn't you just ask me on? And it's like, Tucker, because your fat ass wouldn't have got on. Like, you wouldn't have got, he's still not out of bed yet. he's still somewhere right now cuddled up with his dog and his old lady. But anyway, tell us about collard greens.
All right, collard greens. I've got a lot of drunk ideas on my phone, and you know, sometimes it gets to a point in writers' sessions where we are just not getting on to anything. And so I've got this notepad in my phone that's got all these really dumb ideas that will get laughed out of the room.
The most ridiculous shit you've ever heard.
Yeah. And so I was reading all these ideas off, and finally there was one that was she was raised by collared shirts. I was raised on collard greens. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know what it was, but it just was in my phone as like a drunk idea I wrote down.
Well, you and Nick, because we wrote that song with Nick DeLeo, but you
oh,
and
I
Nick
like
had
him
tried
so
to,
much.
You and Nick tried to stick that in something, right? And then yeah. you couldn't make it work. And then you're like, let's do that collard greens idea.
Yeah. Well, and I had, so I'm not a very good guitar player. So I'm like always taking lessons, whether it be online or in person. And the lesson that I'd been taking that week was a ragtime finger picking lesson. And I was picking that that pattern or whatever, which it sounds a lot like the pattern that's at the very beginning of that of the Collard Greens recording. So between that and then me mentioning that idea, Nick and Kyle, who are way better musicians, they actually made it into something. And then we were like, all right, what's the first line going to be? Might as well be the line, you know? So she was raised by collared shirts. I was raised on collared greens. And then we just kind of started building the story from there. We're like, okay, so, you know, what happens next?
Yeah. We were all talking about like, what does that mean? She was raised on collared shirts. I was raised on collared greens. And we were all talking about those relationships where girls were trying to make us wear Hey Dudes and, or boat shoes and khaki shorts and, you know, stuff like that. I always make the joke whenever I announce a song. They wanted us to drive Toyota Camrys. Yeah. And like, it's just not us. Like we drink Busch Light and whiskey and we like to go honky tonking and do dumb shit. And
didn't you know that's what you're supposed to look like if you're in Nashville now?
Oh yeah. To, right.
Yeah. If you ain't got glitter on, you got to have boat shoes.
Yeah. But, hey, I'm actually wearing camo Hey Dudes right now. So
oh, yeah, he is.
The Hey Dudes aren't guys, that bad. The Hey Dudes. No.
I'm just going to let
bad.
You know. I'm right here, guys. I'm literally right here.
Hey, it could get worse. It could be full blown Sperry's.
Yeah, the Sperry's are the ones I meant, not Hey Dudes. But yeah, we were kind of talking about that and like the just those relationships where girls were trying to change us. We're like, man, like why do we always end up with those girls, like the ones that want to change us, and why can't we find the girl that wants to shoot the whiskey straight or you know, anything like that? And we kinda went that direction.
Because they're usually in prison.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a couple of domestic violence charges themselves.
Yeah, they're either there or on their way.
Yeah. Well, I've always said my favorite DMV is, you know, domestic violence. I thought that's what it stood for a number of years, actually, until I went and got my license plate renewed the other day.
Anyway. Yeah, I've yet to meet a woman who likes to drink whiskey that is not, like, she's mentally unstable. There's not
yeah.
one. Yeah, I haven't met the one that was just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go have one casual, you know, old fashioned, and then we're gonna go home and we're just gonna call it a night. No, it's like, no, we're gonna do that, then we're gonna do a lot of drugs, and then I'm probably gonna hit you, might wreck a car. Yeah, it's like okay.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you run into those girls, there's this comedian named Nick Swardson. He has this joke about Jack Daniels, the commercials. It says, Jack Daniels, drink responsibly. And he's like, nobody's ever drank Jack Daniels responsibly. Nobody's ever been like, hey, you know, let's go home, you know, turn off the lights, light some candles, cuddle up on the couch, catch up on some Modern Family, and just chug this handle of Jack Daniels. Nobody's ever said that.
Yeah. What's crazy True. About Jack Daniels is it's the only liquor that if I drink, like it's over with. Like there's something about Jack Daniels and I can't explain it. I turn into a different human being on it. And I love whiskey. I will drink the shit out of Buffalo Trace or Eagle Rare or anything like that. There's something about Jack Daniels that just brings out the fucking the psychopath in you.
The devil. The devil's got you nuts.
How long ago did y'all write Collard Greens?
A year ago, right?
Probably a year ago at least. Yeah.
Got you. Took a sweet time putting it out then, didn't you?
Yeah.
Man, it is just so expensive to record freaking songs. And like, I don't know, you probably know that at this point, but I mean, it takes a while for stuff to finally reach the public. Like I'm sitting on a handful of songs right now that it's like, I don't even know when I'll have the money to go record them because I'm trying to buy a house right now with my girlfriend. And yeah, it just seems like it takes forever to get it out on the press.
Yeah.
Or off the press, however that saying goes.
Have y'all got pretty good feedback from it so far? What, it's been out like a little over a month now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all pretty much all positive feedback. We just got to figure out how to get more streams at this point. That's my biggest problem, dude. I don't know how people get these millions of streams and land on all these playlists, but whatever it is, it ain't happening for my stuff for whatever reason.
Hey, look, as someone who is just lucky as shit at social media, not strategic, just dumb fucking luck.
Yeah.
You can go by the analytics. You can go by the quality of video. You can go by everything. It is literally right place, right time. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you got to do is keep, like, I've got to the point now to where I used to only post like a certain amount of content a day. And then that would just be it because that's what they say you're supposed to do. But then I'd be like, this video is fucking funny. Like, there's no reason why this video right here should have X amount of views when I'm seeing other stuff and it's got way more. And it's literally, I will leave that video up. I'll repost it again later on. And if it gets more views, then I'll just take down the original.
Right.
Like, you just got to keep, like, only thing your analytics really do help you with is the time of day to post. But still, if it's a great video and it gets shared a lot right off the bat, it's going to blow up. You just got to find something funny to do with it. I know one thing that's kind of aggravating to me, but also I see why people do it now. There were a lot of people, and I don't dislike this guy or anything. I've actually kind of grown to kind of like his music more, but Bailey Zimmerman. I wasn't the biggest fan of Bailey Zimmerman to start off with. Like, it just seemed like it was blah. Like, it was just another dude. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, nothing stood out about it. Now I kind of like his vibe and everything. And I've met him at the Creative Vets golf tournament and at Live Oak one time. Dude was super nice. That'll always change my opinion on somebody. But I know folks like him were putting out clips of songs, like just the verse or just one chorus before they ever even wrote the rest of the song. And if it blew up, they went back and wrote the rest of the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, they'd be like, look, if it ain't going to stream, I'm not even going to waste my time with it. I don't really like that. I mean, I get why from a financial standpoint you would want to do it, but I'm more about, like, the legacy. I like the people that's going to write a song now that in 10, 15 years, you're still going to be talking about how damn good that song is. You know, Jamie Johnson definitely has probably the worst social media presence of all time, and I'd rather listen to Jamie Johnson music or Bobby Pence's music or somebody like that over damn near anybody else, because I feel like it's real, it's good shit.
Yeah,
it's funny you say that, because you know, you can get frustrated in the immediate whenever you don't see the results that a lot of people are getting. But whenever, like, there's a song that I put out back in 2016 or 2017 that is still like my top streaming song. And it's like, you know, you start putting 10 or 15 years between you and a song being out, and it consistently just keeps getting streams. It's like, that's kind of, you know, that could maybe lead to some healthy growth over a long time period. And it's like, you know, there's something to be said, I think, for people still listening to something that came out that long ago. Like you just said, that longevity, maybe. So,
well, I think it's relatable. I think if you're just pushing to get, because I know a lot of artists are just pushing to get something out, they feel like they have to have something constantly out. But I mean, and I know this guy's fucking huge, and this is probably a horrible example for what I'm about to say. But I mean, you look at Chris Stapleton, how many solo albums does he have? Like three? Is it three or four? And he takes so long in between. He don't drop no little, like, nothing, no singles or anything in between. He waits till his album's done, then he starts leaking shit. I think that's where, but he has the benefit of doing that. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, he has the luxury of being able to do that. But I think that's where you get the good stuff, especially like when an artist is first getting started. Like, whatever you put out in 2017, you're still doing it your way, and you're not doing anybody, like, you have no other influence besides for what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. I think the idea of that is kind of like we were talking about, is the content. You know, the content's important. That's how you get noticed. And, you know, obviously you can't repost a song, but like, I feel like that's what it is, you know, if you're not getting noticed, you're just putting out content, which is the music, you know, the songs you've been writing. And that's why I feel like a lot of younger artists are just like, you know, every 3 months, it's a different single, you know, it's a, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm big on the dive bar guys, the guys, the smoky room guys, that have to pay their dues. I just think there's something about that. That, yeah, blowing up right off the bat with a video or something, it's whatever. I mean, good for them by all means. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people would take it. But I think there's a lot of lessons that you learn and a lot of ideas for songs and a lot of things that you only can learn the hard way.
Right. Yeah, there the guys that, you know, kind of get thrust into success like that from like one video or something like that, they're almost like Disney Channel kids. You know? Like
can be.
Yeah.
I definitely, and my thing too is you don't ever hear any great story without some kind of struggle. Like
absolutely.
You think Eminem just never struggled? It's like, no, dude, he grew up in like a trailer park, and there's just so many examples of like stories like that. I know Jelly Roll's the hot topic these days, but like, you know, he was living in a van. And it's like people who are doing great things really, really had a struggle at one point or another. So, you know, maybe we're just kind of in the middle of that. I don't know. That's what I like to think.
Yeah, I admire the people that do. I admire the people that struggle, because one of my favorite sayings I've ever came up with is God allows you to go through hell so you know what heaven's worth. Like sometimes you got to learn shit the hard way. But I think learning it the hard way has everlasting. Like it's going to, when these flash in the pan folks, when they've done fell off because they don't know what to do no more. Like, you know how many people I've seen get so depressed because their first video, like, or their first song they put out got 1 million streams because it blew up on TikTok. And then the second thing that they did got 500,000. And they're like, oh, I'm so sad. 500,000 is still a hell of a lot. And then the next one they put out, it's got half that. And it keeps going to where you've put out 4 songs now and only 100,000 people are listening to it. And that's still a big ass number. But when you start off at 1 million, they don't realize 100,000 is just as good. They get depressed and they don't want to do it no more. Like they don't have that instant gratification.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's the reverse, where you're used to getting, you know,
2,000 streams,
2,000 streams. It's like, man, you'll just take whatever you get, whatever you can get. And like, you start to become way more grateful for success too, because you remember what it's like, you know, when nobody was watching or whatever, you know. I definitely think that's a good point, Josh.
Yeah, I say it all the time. Like, if I was given early success, I didn't start my career that I'm on now till I was like 28, 29. But if I would have started this at 20, 21, I'd have Johnny Manziel'd the shit out of myself. Like I 100% there probably wouldn't have been a documentary because nobody would have known who I was. But yeah, I would have went downhill super quick. I had to mature to where I could handle some of the shit I'm going through. Like otherwise I would have just been like, fuck it. Let's just dive bomb the shit out of this situation. Let's just ruin myself and everybody involved. So yeah, you have, like, for me, I know I have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever learned a lesson the easy way.
I know I haven't. But
so
go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, what's new in your world? Seems like you got a show that's, you know, always in the top 100 or whatever. And it just seems like you're doing a lot of good stuff.
Well, it's top 1% in the world. I wish I could say I was in the top 100. I'd be making a lot more money. I grab it like this. There's 5 million plus shows now, and I go back and forth between 1200 and 700 right now, but we've been as high as 73 overall, but that was like 3 bomb ass episodes back to back to back. And it put us up there to where, hell, a lot of the guys, hell, we've been in front of, I can't remember. There's a screenshot somewhere on my phone, but like Michelle Obama's next to me in the ratings. Who is it? The guy who does Dirty Works that's on TV or whatever was next to me. Then there was some other big like comedian that was right there. And it's like, oh, I'm in front of you guys. I'll never get to say it again. Y'all kiss my ass probably. But yeah, it's cool. There's not really a whole lot of new stuff. It's just, you know, going back and forth between Georgia and Nashville, doing the stuff at Live Oak, our writers rounds and all that kind of stuff, getting new artists, that haven't been on the show like you guys.
You know, that's my passion is I've been blessed with a social media following that I don't really care for. That's not why I wanted to. I wish I could get up like it used to be in radio, get up, go do my show, go home. Like, I don't like all the side show shit, to be real with you. But I feel like because where I'm at and my platform, I have to use it for people that I think are good people that deserve to have the same platform, if not bigger. So, like, I try to find artists that I actually really appreciate, that I like just everything about you, and get them on the show to where, hey, you know, some TikTok star or whatever you might want to call it, yeah, they don't have no trouble getting into country music and putting out a song and getting a million streams, but fuck them. Let's get people that's been doing country music for a while and the people's got the real heart and desire for it. It's not the cool thing. That's what I get pissed off about. If you had a desire to do music before, like you blew up on social media, you'd have been doing music before. Don't do it now just because it's cool and auto tunes out there. I don't have no respect for that. Like, so I try to have people that I feel like deserve recognition. That because even Hunter, you're a firefighter, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See, like, well, I'm big into first responders and stuff like that. To me, I'd rather you have the recognition than me. So that's really where I'm pushing the show towards now, is picky about social media personalities and more about the artists that I think are good people and my type of music too. As I get artists all day, every day, sending me stuff. And if I don't like your shit, I'm not gonna have you on the show. And it's not that your stuff's bad. It's just not my cup of tea. I have to walk a fine line there because I have pissed several people off with that with that statement.
You just don't strike me as the kind of guy that would ever piss anybody off. So
I never stopped. I had this dude one time. I won't say his name. He does country rap, and he was around some other people at the time with me, and they were talking about, yeah, man, let's line up a show, let's do this and everything. And the dude, I was nice to him, as cordial as I could be. And anyway, I was like, yeah, dude, we'll exchange numbers and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I mean, this is a Red Door night. Like, this is shit faced at Red Door. And I was like, yeah, I'll get you on the show some point in time, you know. I didn't know his music, what it sounded like or whatever. There was just like, this dude does country rap. Dude, I listened to it the next day. And I was like, if this guy texts me, I'm going to have to be a dick to him. And he did text me and was like super excited about doing the show. Cause when I get drunk, I will tell you that you can do the show.
It's a for sure deal.
Yeah, it's a for sure. And I was like, dude, no offense. Like, this just isn't my cup of tea. Like, I can't sit here and tell everybody that I like traditional country, that I like outlaw country, that I like storytelling, and then get you on the show. And it's completely off brand to me, especially if I don't like. Now, I've met some people, I can't remember. Fair and Rachel's introduced me to this dude. Ryan Charles, maybe. I think he's got his dude's cool as shit. But he does like the country western, but it's rap. I think it's Ryan Charles. But it's kind of kid, like, it's cool as shit. And like, I would have that dude on the show because I could actually like vibe to his shit a little bit. So I'm not a complete asshole. It's just some people they don't resonate with me. And I'm very quick to piss them off.
Yeah.
Well, we're grateful you have.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Thank you, sir, for having us.
Well, Hunter, like I said, he's just always been nice as hell to me, too. Like, he's always been cool. And I appreciate him coming and playing one of our rounds. I think you actually played one of our rounds before they really started getting momentum, too. Like, yeah. So I appreciate anybody that would come out before then. Like, I don't even remember what month you played. It's been several months back now. Yeah. But like, now it's transitioned into it's an event. Like, people come, we've got social media personalities that come. The artists are growing. Like, November the 8th, are like the last two rounds are Ashlyn Craft, Brett Cherokee, LV Shane, what the hell's his name? Sorry, Ryan Nelson. I couldn't remember your fucking name. You probably don't know your name half the time. He's putting together some folks. I mean, we've got – it's just where it keeps growing. And actually, yeah, I've got a slot open in the 5 o'clock hour and maybe 6 o'clock hour if you guys want to come. I meant to tell you that already. It's November the 8th is our end of the year show. So okay, if y'all want to play that one, I'd love to have y'all come out and play.
Let's see what we got on the calendar here.
I would love to, but I'm almost 90% sure I'm going to be in Vegas.
Well, shit. That just threw a monkey wrench in me already. What about you, Hunter?
I'm supposed to be at the fire hall that day.
Well, never mind. This is what happens. This is why you don't do shit like this on the show. Because I'm not going to cut it, and everybody's going to be like, they just didn't want to fucking play. I know that's what listeners like. No, they just decided they didn't want to. They didn't like this guy so much.
No, man, we are grateful. I definitely want to be a part of it. I don't really do a whole lot, and it's because I don't really know a whole lot of people. Hunter, you're talking about Hunter being a really nice guy. He absolutely is. I moved here to town 2 years ago, and I ran into him randomly out in Missouri. And whenever he saw I was moving out here, you know, he didn't have to listen to my music or hit me up or anything like that. And he did. And he showed me around. He introduced me to a whole bunch of people. And yeah, he's the nicest dude ever. He's gotten me into all kinds of stuff like this stuff. And pretty much every writer's round I've done.
Hey, that's how it goes. You know, Josh, like you just gotta, there's people that you just feel a certain way about, and you're like, yeah, man, I know that, you know, maybe not a lot of people know you cause you just moved here. You're new, but like, you need to be part of this because you're special. And, I need people to see you for that. And so like, if I can include you in any way, then I'm going to do it. That's how I felt about Kyle. So
see, fucking love you. You're not such a nice dude.
The best dude, man.
And by the way, you look like you've been in Nashville way longer than 2 years. You look like, if I was going to make a country singer, it definitely wouldn't look like Hunter. It would look like you.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
I don't know. Hunter's got this, what's his name? From Tombstone. And it's I'm drawing.
Oh, Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday. You got this Doc Holliday thing going.
Yeah. Man, no Shave November of 2021 that's where it all came from. I didn't even know I could grow a mustache. And all the other firemen were like, you can't grow a mustache. And I was like, well, we'll see what happens. And I've had it ever since then. So
isn't it weird when you start growing facial hair and you realize that what the hell was I doing beforehand?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say it's a man's makeup, you know, we look a lot different without facial hair, and I got to have something to make my jawline protrude a little bit more. You know, I don't know.
I'm definitely fugly without, that's why I just keep letting the beard get longer. So it takes more notice off the rest of my face. Like I'm telling you, like I am a fugly individual. I look back at pictures of me in high school and I look like a cancer patient. Cause like I already was pale. Like I'm talking about sickly looking pale, and I don't know why. The sun does not like me whatsoever. But I started shaving my head when I was 16 for football. And it just never, I already had a bad hairline by then anyway. Like I had a widow's peak at probably 15. There was no chance I was ever going to have hair in my life. And it just never came back. So all the pictures of me look like I'm athletic, but I'm pale. I'm bald. My lips are bigger than the rest of my face. Like it is, I just don't look well without facial hair at all.
Dude. Yeah. I did what they call a yeared. So it's you just grow your beard out for a year just to see how long it gets and what it looks like and stuff. I did that for a while. And then COVID hit. It was 2020 and quarantine happened and I couldn't play shows. I was trying to figure out how to like stay relevant, make money and stuff. So I had a mullet back then. I turned myself into Tiger King. I shaved everything. I was doing all kinds of Tiger King content and that went over really well. But I shaved everything except my mustache. And you know it's bad whenever your mom calls you and says, never again. She's like, never shave your face again. You know it's bad when your mom tells you that. Like,
it's funny. You just said Tiger King. I have this weird thing. I mean, everybody's got their weird shit in life that like, I don't know how to explain it. It's not like a tick or whatever. I don't even know what you would call it. But if somebody mentions something three times, like three different individuals mentioned something three times, like in a short time span, Like, I think that something's going to happen to that thing that they're talking about. So the guys yesterday out of nowhere we did a show with brought up Tiger King. You brought up Tiger King. If somebody else randomly brings up Tiger King without me say without them knowing, I'm going to go ahead and say he's getting shanked in prison.
That's a good guess.
Something bad is happening to that dude in the next week if somebody else says Tiger King to me.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Or fails.
Yeah, he gets randomly pardoned or something. Like, it's going to be something ridiculous.
If he gets randomly pardoned, then my first offender felony from 18 needs to be fucking expunged. I'm just telling you, there is no reason in this world why that asshole ought to get away or get pardoned, and I can't.
I was trying to write jokes and stuff for my internet content, so I watched it like 8 times through. And I think near the end of that documentary, he was writing the president asking for pardons.
It was.
He's like continuously writing, asking for pardons.
Yeah. Well, there was something too on Trump's last day. He pardoned a lot of people but it was like his homies or some shit. I can't remember because one of them, I just watched a documentary on. All I watch is documentaries and cartoons. I am a simple person. But there was some dude and I can't remember who it was. I know exactly what it was. It was the mayor of Detroit who stole a massive amount of money from Detroit. And I don't even know why Trump pardoned him, but he definitely did. So I could have saw him doing Tiger King. And that probably would have pissed off everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are y'all originally from, by the way?
I'm from Kansas. I'm from a really small town in Kansas, almost Colorado, almost Oklahoma. In the middle of wheat fields and dirt.
You're the first person I ever met from Kansas.
Really?
No shit. Yeah, I don't think I've ever met anybody from Kansas.
Well, there's nothing out there, so.
It's all right. I hate people, so I'd probably be happy.
No, it's great. I was telling somebody the other day about, we were talking about like just going on vacation, escaping somewhere. And I was like, I can go out to Southwestern Kansas. And they're like, just being surrounded by trees and stuff. I was like, no, there's no hills. There's no trees. There's only wind and dirt, and that's it. So there's not many people that live out there. It's pretty empty.
Is it flatter than Texas?
Oh, dude, it's kind of the same area. So I'm only 3 hours from like Amarillo.
Okay.
It's right there, like right next. I'm right next to the Oklahoma Panhandle, and then right across that is Texas, and that whole area, eastern Colorado, So Southwestern Kansas, all that stuff, it's dead flat. There's no trees. There's no hills. It's as far as that. People make a joke that if you lose your dog, just like spin in a circle and you'll see it somewhere out there.
First time I went to Texas like 2-3 years ago, it blew my mind how flat it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize how hilly Georgia was until you go somewhere like that. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. I just took Nick DeLeo back to my hometown not long ago and we landed in Denver. And there's this little tunnel as soon as you get out where there's two glass windows on either side. And out the right side was the Rocky Mountains and out the left side was eastern Colorado. And he was like, we're not going that way, are we? It's like we're headed straight into the heart of that thing, dude.
That's cool. So, where are you from, Hunter?
So I'm from a town about 30 minutes south of Kansas City, Missouri. It's called Pleasant Hill. And, town of about 6,000 or 8,000 people. Just kind of your classic, American small town. We had a Sonic, a McDonald's and a Subway and a grocery store. That's about it. We weren't ever good enough for a Walmart. So that kind of sucked, but, that's where I'm from.
When we got super Walmart here, when I was in high school, everybody lost their fucking mind.
Oh, dude.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And now you got to drive. You got to drive 30 miles to get to a Walmart where I'm from.
Jesus Christ! There is literally, if I was to stay, and I live in Cochran. It's very rural, very small town. I could walk out my door right now and throw a rock, and I'm gonna hit two different dollar stores, a Dollar Tree, a Walmart, and then what's the other thing we got? A Food Depot. All within a mile of each other. Yeah, we don't have to go far for shit, but it makes our town look shitty though. Like it's just real weird. And we got the worst restaurants ever besides for Scott's and DGR before y'all get mad at me and cuss me.
Yeah, shout out.
it's small town shit, let me tell you. I don't know how it is with y'all, but here, the people I grew up with, everybody wants something free. Like, or I don't know if when y'all have a show or whatever, like somebody's always wanting, they always want something. Nobody gave a shit about Josh Terry 8 years ago. And now all of a sudden, you know, I throw all these honky tonk nights in Macon now. We just had Dylan Carmichael last weekend.
And Justin Day. Dukes.
And Dukesy. Boy, that's my baby right there.
I love sweet. That guy.
God, is he not a sweet angel?
He is. He's a sweet angel with a comb over, and I love it.
God, you know who makes him look like the biggest sinner of all time, though? Ethan Phillips.
Oh, okay. I don't know Ethan.
Oh, you haven't been around Ethan?
Uh-uh.
Ethan and Justin live together.
Oh, so, okay. Good, my God.
You just know they are doing Bible study every night of the week. They're so nice. But
they're going to bed early.
Oh, I promise you, they won't come out with Ethan has – I've never seen Ethan drink a beer. He's an – ask Dukesy. This dude's an amazing songwriter. But he's monotone. I've never heard him raise his voice at all, even when he's singing. But he's so fucking good. Oh,
I see his name everywhere. It seems like he's on all kinds of different songs as a writer credit. Like, yeah, I've heard that guy's – yeah.
Yeah, look up his – he posted a video on TikTok a couple months ago. And if I'm wrong about this, it's just because I don't know shit about James Taylor, because I do not know anything about James Taylor besides I like a couple of his songs. But he's still alive, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I think he is. But James Taylor like shared Ethan singing one of his songs.
Wow.
And like you would have thought that I don't know who your guy is. I don't know who your favorite of all time. Oh, yeah, he's still alive. God, he is fugly.
Is he clean shaven? Is that the problem?
Yeah, he is actually 100%. He's what I would look like if I was skinny and let the sides of my hair grow out. Yeah, he's not a good looking man. Who's y'all's guy? Like how Ethan shared and like James Taylor blew up his shit or whatever and everything. Like who's y'all's like number one?
I'm a huge Keith Whitley fan. We had this 5-CD changer that was in our living room, and we had Keith Whitley's Greatest Hits that was stuck in there. It would change all the other CDs, but that other one wouldn't come out. So that thing was played constantly.
So right here on my forearm, I don't know how good you can see it, is my Keith Whitley tattoo, my Kentucky Bluebird with the fringe rhinestone jacket and Keith Whitley's hair. He's my all-time.
Dude,
I love Keith. So fucking much.
Yeah, he's the best.
What about you, Mr. Hunter Thomas Mounts?
Man, mine's gonna sound basic, but I've got a lot of reason for it. I'm an Eric Church guy, man. I freaking love him so much. I've seen him probably at least 30 times in concert, and man, there's just so many reasons that I love him. I guess the first time I ever saw him, I got handed a free coupon at a different concert to go see Eric Church. And I was kind of looking at this coupon. I had the Chief logo on it, and I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go see this guy, you know. But I was me and my girlfriend from high school, I decided to take her, and I was like, this guy is freaking amazing. I'm so glad I came to this show. And over the years, you know, I've slowly stopped liking country radio more and more over the years.
I wonder why.
And he is like the only guy I feel like that's on country radio, one of the only guys that's on country radio that continues to like still be creative, still be just bring something different to the table. And like another, it's funny, I saw him back in August at an amphitheater outside of Chicago. And at this point, I've seen him so many times that I really wasn't even that excited about the show. And lo and behold, I go to the show and he has something completely different than he's ever done before. It's called Outsiders Revival Tour. He had Cody Jinks open for him, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And also he had a horn section and he had three black ladies singing background vocals for him. So it was all like Southern gospel kind of twist to all of his songs. Yeah. Like Smoke a Little Smoke was like, keep back in the blues a spin. Like just everything.
Wait, what was it? Sorry, I couldn't let you cut out. What was the thing that they did?
No, I'm not going to do it again.
I liked it. I liked it.
But it was just, it was just so like.
That was like, more Michael Jackson than Eric Church.
No. That was, I'm saying that's what the black ladies that were singing. That's how they were doing
Okay. Well, and it would make sense if they sounded like Michael Jackson.
And it was just so cool and creative. And I was like, dude, that is still my dog. So that's my guy.
He is absolutely one of my favorites. That 60 Days in Church, the all the covers. I think he has my all-time favorite cover. And it wasn't even a song I had ever heard before. But 16th Avenue.
I never
had heard the song. I did not. And how that song isn't covered by every single musician out there. I got chills
right now.
Yeah. I've played it around musicians before. And they were like, what the fuck is this? And I'd be like, this song came out like in the 70s or 80s by this woman. And like, I'd never heard anything about it until I heard Church do it. And I love all of his stuff that like, what's the fucking one? Whenever the Lynyrd Skynyrd-Jones is one of the best written songs I have ever heard in my life. But that whole little period that he went through with like a Crazy Land and all that kind of stuff, I love it.
He wrote, he had Crazy Land come to him in a dream, and he like woke up and like wrote down the chorus.
That's insane.
Which is super cool. Yeah, man. I'm with you. There was some covers that I'd never heard on that whole series that he did. I really loved Jolene by Ray LaMontagne or whatever you say his name. Whenever he did that, you know, Cocaine Flame on Bloodstream. God, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's my guy.
He's one of those people, man. And he's just an artist. Like, it's hard to even, like, I think it's a compliment to call some people a country artist. But then I think it's a bigger compliment to say they're an artist. Like, they can do anything at all. And I feel like it doesn't matter what you put in front of him. There's a lot of people that try to do country music that are coming from a different realm. And you can always tell they started somewhere else. Like they'll have a poppy vibe or a rock vibe or something like that to it. But even when Eric does something different, you can still feel the country in him is the only way I know how to put it. Like you never have to guess, like, you know, this dude did country.
Yeah. I always bring up Eric Church as one of my, like, at least musical inspirations for that reason specifically. Yeah. I say that exactly that. And Brothers Osborne are kind of like that too. I don't think they do it as well as Eric Church, but they'll have some different stuff that they bring in, but it always it sounds like them. It sounds like country. But I think Eric Church is the biggest one. And I always bring up the song Cold One.
Oh yeah.
Dude, like, it's just so out there and weird and different, but it's like so Eric Church and still country. Like,
I'm sitting here thinking of ones that I've just vibed to so much from. These Boots is always probably gonna be one of my favorites. I just haven't heard him put out a bad song, to be honest. Like, even I love Luke Bryan. I'm not Luke Bryan, but Luke Combs. I like the shit out of everything Luke Combs does, but it gets to a point to where this sounds like three songs ago.
Right. Yeah.
It's still good. I still love what you're doing, but it sounds like three songs ago. I've never heard Eric Church where I'm like, oh, this is repetitive. Like, he's already done this.
I was just about to say, for somebody that I've seen over 30 times, I still have no idea what he's going to do next. Yeah. Zero idea what his next stuff is going to sound like. And when it comes out, I will be mind blown again, because I'm like, I didn't see you go in that direction.
Have you heard the song that somebody recorded of him doing at the Grand Ole Opry a couple months ago that blew up?
No.
Okay.
I think I saw a TikTok of it or something like that.
Yeah, shit. It's one of those, like, I know I've got it saved in my favorites. I'm just going to text it to you. It's one of those that's like, you really can tell that he takes his time. You can really tell that he loves what he does, and he's not going to be subpar about it. And that's kind of goes back to what I was saying to you earlier, is like, I like the people that chase the legacy, that want that 10-year song. I quote this way too much on the show, but I just love fucking Bobby Pinson so damn much. It's Steve. Like, he's my dude. Like, he's one of those that had no reason to befriend me, and he's just been a mentor and cool as shit to me. But when we were at Seagale recording the show with him the first time, he says on there, he said, you got to write one great song before you write a lot of good ones. And I think a lot of people go backwards with that. I think a lot of people try to just get noticed right off the bat with something that's popular instead of pouring their heart and soul into the, like, their first big project or their first thing they release. And usually, if you think about it, even what you're talking about, the your listens from 2017, like, I think if you go about it that way, people get to discover the real you.
Yeah.
And like, even with this show, the reason why we don't sit here and do it like an interview the whole time, and it's really just talking shit, is because I want the listeners to meet you. Like, meet you through me. How, if we were sitting at a bar, I think literally what we say in the description of the show now is, imagine sitting at a bar with a complete stranger, having some beers, and by the time you both get up, you got a new best friend.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to dive into the artist. And the only way that they do that, if you're not doing a show like this, is to put stuff that identifies so much with you out there. Like, and that in color, I mean, Jamie Johnson had several songs before that, and I think that some of them are good. But if you ask most people, they're going to say Jamie Johnson's first single was In Color, because they don't know no better. But that's the song that related and identified with, that still to this day, 20 years later, it's all everybody wants to hear from him.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is this song at? I know I have it. I know.
Lonely at the Top? Is that Jamie Johnson?
Man,
I think so.
I didn't even realize that I knew his first single, but I didn't even know it was him until way later on. It was,
The Dollar.
The Dollar, yeah.
Yep.
It's about the little kid coming up to his dad and giving him money, and he's like, how much time will this buy me?
Right, yeah.
It's like, good God.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. Think about how many artists you got introduced to on one of those somber, sad, slow songs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually that one, and everybody, I really do believe this. I believe that everybody has a great song in them. Even if you don't write music, I believe that everybody has a great song in them, because you're the only one that's lived your life. Right. You're the only one that can tell your story, or a story from your life, from that perspective, from that experience. And the second you take that and you turn it into a song, it's going to resonate with people. And I just don't feel like the dude is blowing up everywhere right now, that I'm not, I like the guy. I just think he's kind of, he just leaves some shit out, that Oliver Anthony dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right time, right place, but he did a relatable song.
Right.
I mean, that's it. Like, there are certain people, like, country music fans, I think most of the world, tired of hearing generic shit.
I'll be curious to see, because I do like him, and I do like that song, and I like his other, he's only got like 7 or 8 songs out.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of in that vein where it's just him and a guitar, and he's talking about, you know, just hard times and stuff, but I'll be curious to see the trajectory of his career. You know, is it going to be just kind of this moment that's already passed, or is he going to take that success and just snowball it into, you know, something crazy big? Like, there's examples of both kinds of artists, you know, where somebody will pop off with something, and then it'll just kind of, that'll be it. That was the moment. But then there's other people that, man, I hate to use this example, but I'm going to. When I first heard Taylor Swift, I was like, oh yeah, she's like kind of the young teenager heartthrob, like, she's popular right now, but like, that's going to burn out at some point. Like, she's not going to be the young, you know, brand new thing anymore. And lo and behold, you look at her now, and it's like, dude, she's probably top 10 most famous people in the world. I'm not saying that Oliver Anthony's going to do that, but like, is he going to build some kind of crazy legacy like she did, or is it just kind of this moment in time, I guess, is what I'm
right.
saying.
Well, now she's so famous because she's dating Travis Kelce. Like, she's getting a lot of her fame from, you know, he's bringing her up.
Yeah, he's the best tight end in the league. He really put her on the map.
Yeah. I read earlier today where her documentary that came out last week at the movies, in the first weekend it did X amount of millions. Last weekend it did $36 million on a documentary about a singer. Like, it's going to reach.
That's still alive.
Yeah. and she's young.
Right.
Like, people forget, like, this bitch ain't even lived yet. I think I'm older than she is. I'm 36. I think I'm older than she is.
You are.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it like that. You don't have to be like, yeah, you are.
You are.
No, I think with him, I really do think he screwed up. I think he did. I think him not taking those offers when he could, I think he's going to regret it in a year's time. Because, I mean, I hate to say it, because the dude seems like he's super nice. Super nice. But who gets screwed over the first? The nice guy. And I understand what he's doing. Like, I love the fact he reads his Bible on stage. I love all that kind of stuff or whatever. The more you can put the Lord's name out there. I mean, I ain't the best Christian ever, but when I get a chance to talk about God, I talk about God. And I love that he does that. But he's going to come to that crossroads that a lot of musicians are at, that, man, how am I going to pay for this if I'm not taking deals? Like, right. I mean, that one song, I don't care what you say. I can't really think of another one. Maybe Umbop. Y'all remember Hanson and Umbop?
Hanson, dude, yeah.
Yeah, you remember them taking over the fucking world with that?
I don't know. I would say Gangnam Style was pretty big,
too. Yeah. Yeah, that's trash. But like Hanson's anybody. That's actually, that song is going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day now.
Yeah, dude.
But I really can't sit there and tell you a time that a song like that has took off. And there's no way to replicate it. There's no way to replicate the success from that song. Like, I like the one, I actually, that one's not even my favorite one of his. I like the one talking about a 90-something Chevy or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn Her On. Oh, yeah, that's like, that's a good song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I like the one, Doggone It. It's like people eating bugs because they won't eat bacon. Doggone It.
Yeah.
That's my favorite, dude.
I don't even think I've listened to that one.
Oh my God, it's great.
Yeah. But he kind of annoyed me. Do y'all know about the Cotton Eye Joe's thing in Knoxville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where they were charging a certain thing and he like canceled the show because they were overcharging?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the side of the story that he says. Like, right. The side that he doesn't say is what he charged the venue to book him.
No, he probably charged them. He probably charged them $500,000 for the show.
It was $120,000.
Oh, that's low. I figured it would.
It was $100. It was $120 from what I think I read on Whiskey Rift. It was $120, and it's like, okay, you're right. Like, that's not a ridiculous number for a performer that's all over the fucking internet and everything else.
No, it's not bad.
But when you're at a place like that. No venue, no owner of whatever is doing something out of the kindness of his heart. If he's not breaking even, why is he doing it? Like, he's not going to take a huge loss just so people can come in there and listen to Richmond north of Richmond.
Right. So I just ran the numbers, and to break even, they would have had to charge $40 a ticket. Because 3,000 people, which is how much it holds, $40 a ticket, that equals 120,000. So,
okay, well, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't that bad then.
Well, but $40, that's them absolutely breaking even completely. They're probably going to want to make.
Yeah, they can't stay open if they break even.
Yeah, and it was supposedly a night, too, where they weren't even supposed to be open, allegedly, where they opened it specially for that thing. And I think they were charging $90 for tickets, I think is what it was.
I don't have a problem with the owner doing it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, ain't nobody bitching at Morgan Wallen for charging $800 a fucking ticket. Everybody's paying that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I will pay my mortgage that much. I am definitely. But I get it. I mean, even with Taylor Swift, dude, if you can make it, if somebody's going to pay it, we might sit here and bitch about it because we'd never pay it. But there's some little teeny bopper or whatever. They're going to pay it and be happy about it.
Yeah.
Hell, there.
Ask for dad's money and have dad pay for it.
Did you hear that there's a bunch of the Taylor Swift fangirls that will literally wear Depends so that they don't have to leave their seat. They'll just piss their pants while they're at the concert so that they don't have to miss a moment of the show.
Doesn't surprise me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be real. They were going to get drunk and piss themselves anyway. So yeah, now it's just not trickling all over themselves or in a bed somewhere.
Listen, I wasn't surprised. I was thinking how good of an idea that is.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely. No. I about need them. I'm telling you, I've had to back off my drinking so much in the past year because it was getting to where every 30 minutes when I drank, or even quicker, I had to go piss. Like, I know I was ruining something.
Dude, I saw your post where you said that you pretty much cut down your, you know, cutting loose to about one day a week. And yeah. I saw your fitness stuff too. I just wanted to say, I'm super happy for you. Cause it's not easy in this business to do something like that. Like, there's literally an opportunity every single day to go get hammered. And so I'm super happy for you on that.
Well, the fitness shit didn't last.
No, it didn't.
Everything started hurting. I know that's not a good excuse, but I don't need to be physically fit to do this job. And I'm single and I'm happy. I don't do bad in the women department. So until like something health wise comes up, I'm going to try to stay in the weight that I'm at or close to it. Health wise, but yeah, fuck that. I mean, I was 330 pounds at one point in time in my life. My body is like, you're doing fine. You're doing fine, Bubba. But yeah, dude, it is hard because back when I was broke and didn't have shit going for me in this world, I couldn't have walked into a bar and get a free drink from anybody. Now, if I'm hosting a show in Nashville, you can damn bet that for those 6 hours or 4 hours, however long we're at Live Oak, there's going to be somebody every 10, 15 minutes bringing me a beer, bringing me a shot.
Yep.
I literally have to pregame for that the rest of the month. Like, yep. I have to, because I don't want to be disrespectful. And I know that when people come out to the show, they want to party. They know that there's going to be really good country music there. They know that sometimes we'll have like surprises. And if it is a surprise, like somebody who's not country, it's somebody like Saving Abel. Or somebody like that, where it's still is somebody really good, somebody notable or something, that even if it ain't country, they know there's going to be fun-ass women there, and they know there's going to be drinking and partying. Like, I really do want, when people come to one of our shows, that it feels like what I can imagine Nashville was in the 80s.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's what I want. I want it to be real fucking country music, real wild, but still. I mean, I love sad songs. I love that atmosphere, but also I know it's got to be a party to go along with it. So that's what let's try to brand it. And the bad thing with all that is, when you mix all that shit together, everybody wants to drink with me, and it got out of hand. I was going up there, and I have to be up there usually for about 1 week out of every month recording with shows, with anybody. But it's where that whole week, from the time I got there, when I would post on social media, we're headed to Nashville, somebody would be like, hey, man, tonight at Losers, tomorrow at Red Door, let's go to Music City on Monday. And it's like, shit, I just can't. I've learned to say no. And I feel better. It took me, I embarrassed myself the first time I was up there with work stuff. I really did. And it weighed on me for a while. But I went to a writer's round that I think Vaden was hosting, and he had Ashley McBride, Aaron Lewis, and Dylan Carmichael at the end of the show. It was at Live Oak. Okay. And I'm sitting fucking 5 feet in front of Ashley McBride, and I'm a huge fan of all three of them, but I love Aaron Lewis and Ashley McBride. And I got fucking tanked. I'm talking about shit canned. And when we got done, Vaden introduced me to Ashley, and I had a story from when I worked in radio about her, and I was telling her. And that turned into me getting this close to Ashley McBride's face for a good 10, 15 minutes, and I know I was getting on her nerves. And if I'd have been sober, I wouldn't have done it. Nobody ever said anything bad about it or whatever, but it's just like, if you're going to be around this kind of stuff, you got to behave a certain way. And so I kind of backed off of that. Then we'll just hang out with my buddies when I went up there. And dude, it gets to be too much.
I feel you, dude. I have a lot of regrets from the stuff I used to do when I would go out, just getting absolutely hammered. And yeah, I know some people probably saw me do some obscene things at Losers for sure in the dirty dancing department.
It happens, man.
Yeah.
But I'm ruined though. Cause like my favorite artists or people I look up to, we're always the outlaws. We're always the wild person. So like, that's what I thought for the longest time you had to be. I thought you had to act like George Jones every time you fucking went out, if you wanted people to know who you are. And then this is what was one of my come to Jesus meetings. I had a Georgette Jones on the show earlier this year after the show on Showtime and shit went off. And she told me something. And then Johnny Paycheck's son told me about a month or two later when we did a show with him. He's like, you got to remember, or she told me, she said, you got to remember all the things you idolize my dad for are the things that traumatized me growing up.
Damn.
And I was like, fuck. And she was like, George didn't even like that shit. He just liked to have a good time, but he definitely didn't want to be known for being no show. He didn't want to be known for that. So that was kind of one of those things that's like, yeah, I don't have to be this person. I can back off of it. I don't have to be this guy.
Yeah. Well, something interesting about that, I'll say, is so I haven't really been drinking since about June. And I was so worried about what people were going to say to me, like, oh, dude, you're being a bitch. Like, you're not going to party with us tonight. You know, how dare you? Dude, nobody gives a shit what you're doing. Like,
they don't care.
Everybody is living their own life and has their own set of problems. And they'll just go, oh, okay, no worries. And the thing that I feared for years about slowing down was that people were going to like ostracize me. Dude, nobody gives a damn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was a hard thing for me. I had it in my head that if I'm not the party boy, that everybody's just going to turn away. It's the complete opposite happened. People saw that I was more professional and they wanted to work with me more. Used to, if you go listen, we've done, I think we're on like 460, 470 shows now. You go back and you listen to one to about 250, 300. And I'll guarantee you 90% of them I'm drunk. 90% are drinking while doing them. And I just got accustomed to it. And then I finally was like, I'm not doing this shit no more. I don't need to do this shit no more. I want to be an old ass man. Like Keith Whitley's awesome, you know, but I don't want to die. I don't want to die in my 30s. I don't want to drink myself to death just because of country music, you know, but anyway, well,
hey, I was going to ask you, isn't it weird to do something for the first time where you were always drunk prior to that? Like for me, playing on Broadway, for example, I had never played on Broadway where I wasn't drunk because that's just what you do down there. Everybody buys you drinks and that's just the thing. And finally, one day I was like, I'm going to do this without drinking at all. And I was like, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be awful, whatever. It was a great time. And I was like, man, I feel like I sounded better. I feel like I had a more professional attitude. And it's like when you get over those hurdles and you do something sober for the first time, it's like, why was I building that up in my head? Like it was going to be so lame. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just kind of a cool thing to learn.
You thought people were going to think you're lame. Me and you got a mutual buddy, and I'll tell you off air, so I don't tell you his secret. He will get a beer. He'll drink one beer if he drinks that one. And then, like, especially when he's at Live Oak where the water cooler is or anywhere it's got water, like water, he'll wait till nobody's paying him attention. He'll walk over there. He'll fill up that beer bottle with water, and it gives off. He's got a beer in his hand. He's having a good time, so nobody treats him different. He doesn't have to think about anybody treating him different, but he's drinking water the whole time. And, like, I think this is something that's in all of our heads that we want to fit in with it so bad. But the second you realize that you really don't matter to anybody, like to your friends wise, nobody's going to judge you if you don't want to get hammered. Nobody, like once you get out of your own way with that, it's a cakewalk, man.
Yeah. It's so funny. I played downtown a lot, and my band, whenever I first moved, we all moved together. Like we met each other here, but we all moved kind of at the same time. And whenever we were playing together, just because we didn't really know the dynamic, we always held each other accountable for like not finishing a drink, or like, you know, we would be like, you know, I'd have to finish my beer because they're drinking. And then eventually we all kind of found out we didn't want to drink that much every time we played, because we get like a couple of weeks ago, some dude bought 50 shots of Jim Beam.
For us.
Yeah. We're really good at selling Jim Beam and Busch Light. And but this, like, every time we, I might be giving our secret away here, but every time we get like buckets and buckets of Busch Light, we'll like we'll take like maybe 2-3 swigs and make it look like we're drinking a lot, and then throw away like 3/4 of a beer, and then just move on to the next one.
It's already paid for. It don't matter.
Yeah, yeah, but we try and sell it that way, or it's like we're not really drinking that much, but we make it look like we are.
Well, you're having a good time, and I mean, everybody can sit there. They just want to join in. That's the thing with buying beers, buying shots. They want to be part of the good time,
right?
And as long as you're putting on the good time, regardless if you're drunk or sober, they're not going to give a shit.
No. Yeah, they're just trying to be nice to you. They're trying to give you something for free that costs a lot downtown. It's freaking $9 for a damn Coors Light at Tootsie's now. Another reason I won't step foot in that place.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest. If I go to Broadway, it's because I'm chasing a fat ass and some tits, to be honest with you. I'm not. Outside of that, I do not want no part of that shit no more. And I've come to find out the women that go to writers' rounds, I like way more anyway than them just blah. They might look good, but they ain't got nothing going on between the ears, boy.
Well, I hang out with a couple of 24-year-olds. They're the dudes in my band, and they're all about nothing between the ears. So we usually end up at AJ's late at night.
I like AJ's. That's the only one I like, because Blaine Bunning, I don't know if y'all know Blaine. He's my boy. Yeah. I fucking love B. And I'll go there to watch him, but besides that, I don't much care.
Have you been to Robert's Western World?
Yeah, I've ate fucking bologna sandwich after bologna sandwich in that bitch, boy.
Do not sleep on Robert's Western World. I mean, it is packed in there, but I freaking love that bar so much, and I'm so glad that they have not changed a thing about it. You know, it's I'm dreading the day where it becomes freaking, you know,
it's
somebody's
coming.
Bar. Like
it's coming.
I know it. It's just one of the original,
Zimmerman's.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as Chiefs opens and as soon as Garth's open, every single body else is going to have an investment group behind them.
Yeah.
I've
seen all the construction, but I didn't even know Bon Jovi had a bar.
I didn't know Bon Jovi had a bar.
It's behind Losers. There was a big parking lot, and they've been doing a bunch of construction behind Losers.
Apparently
that's Bon Jovi's bar.
It's the shape of an L. I thought it would be Smash Mouth's bar, because you know, shape of an L or four.
Loser.
All right.
Lo and behold, it's Bon Jovi.
Wow. What a horrible reference. That is good. The only one I'm excited about opening is Hasten and Dave and them Live Oak down there. I know that's where we're going to be probably moving the show to. I'm excited about that. But it's all, what's it on 2nd? It's right on the riverfront.
Dude, that's going to be epic. Is it like where the George Jones bar was, or what bar is it?
Okay. If I'm right. And I've seen pictures of it that he showed me. It's overlooking the water. So it's got to be the road that is closest to the river.
It's got to be the Hard Rock side.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was famous Nashville that closed down.
It's probably there.
Dude, they have a great stage.
It is.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would be right up. That would be right up Hazen's alley to take a bar that was previously unsuccessful, that's already got a great setup, and turn it into something. Because that's how, do you remember when Frisky Frogs
I never saw it.
Dude, you'd walk by it, you'd look in the place, and there would be one person, and you're like, that bar is so freaking sick. Why is nobody ever in there? And then he turns into Live Oak, and then, you know, it becomes something. And Famous was the same way. You go in, it has this epic, probably $100,000 plus screen behind the stage, and you just send them your logo.
Yeah.
And then it'll be up on the screen behind you. So it's already like a mini Wild Horse, super, super nice bar, but for whatever reason, nobody goes in there. And I could just see, if that is the bar, I could just see him turning it into like the place.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I hope it is too. Well, guys, drop your social media and let's get out here. Plug the song one more time. Tell them to go download it. By the way, tell them to download your whole catalog. Anything else?
Yeah.
A song from 2017, tell them to go listen to.
Hell yeah. On all my social media, it's going to be Hunter T, MOUNCE. It's like bounce with a on it. So it's going to be Hunter T Mounts. And yeah, I've got about 25 songs out. I've got two different albums out. One came out this year. One came out back in 2017. Got a bunch of songs you can binge on if that's your cup of tea. And then Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle Austin Music on pretty much everything. I have an album called Outlaw that I recorded, produced, and played all the instruments on myself back in 2020. And then Collard Greens, another song, Get Out of Dodge, that came out in February this year. And then I just released a song October 18th called Bad Luck that I also produced myself. And Collard Greens. Go stream Collard Greens.
Hell yeah. Well, dudes, let's make sure next year when they're setting up our new schedule at the new Live Oak and everything that I get you guys on it.
Yes,
so, you know, for sure. I know this was last minute for November 8th, but let's definitely try to get y'all on some stuff next year.
Please, man.
We'll I would love that. Cool. Nothing more than that. So
cool. Well, thank y'all for hanging out with me for a little bit. I appreciate it. And thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. I will holler at y'all later.